Tim, right before the break, you were talking about what you believe Boeing might have been working on, or maybe still is, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, it was kind of a rapid transition from the Lister technology, which are one of the least efficient anti-gravity devices out there, you know, although, again, there's some debate about what's actually going on, to one of the more powerful. One of the stories that I worked on this summer, and it caught me completely off guard, it was very unexpected, was Eugene Pogonoff's force beam. And this was actually the thing that Boeing was looking at. And from my understanding, at least, and I don't have all the details, they were just in the preliminary stages of looking at his data. So they hadn't actually started building anything.
And you called it a force beam?
Yeah, it was.
You know, the old-fashioned science fiction tractor impressor beams, George?
Yeah.
Well, they were working on ostensibly a pressor beam, meaning a beam of force produced by an electronic gadget that could reach out feet, miles, and do things without any physical transmission of matter in between.
Mm-hmm.
And Podkletnov, who is this very exotic and enigmatic Hungarian, is he Hungarian or Finnish?
You know, I think he's actually Russian, but he's living in Finland.
Okay. I was on ART many years ago when his first invention or his discovery was reported by one of the physics journals in Europe, the spinning superconducting disk, where you put a mass above it and it was reduced in weight, and everyone was touting it as anti-gravity.
NASA was trying to test that.
And Tim will get into that, because there's a bizarre, very convoluted X-Files kind of story that's developed around that effort. But back to the Boeing thing. A few years later, Podkletnov published over the Internet experiments claiming that he had accidentally produced the opposite of the anti-gravity effect, which was a force beam that went through walls and trees and the ground and affected things hundreds of feet away.
Was it a weapon?
Well, it could be used as a weapon.
Ah.
So, of course, guess what? Boeing would be interested, wouldn't they? So that's where Tim picks up the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are actually two scientists that I've been doing research on, trying to learn a little bit more about. And the interesting thing from my perspective was they were both working together. One of those was Eugene Pogonoff, who took, you know, incredible torture from the conventional community after he came forward with the rotating superconductor experiment. My impression has been that for the last 10 or so years, he has been working diligently with some private funding, but he's been working really hard to get back into the good graces of mainstream science. You know, the idea being that once you're excommunicated, it's, you know, hard to find funding, hard to find experiments, and when you do publish, it's hard to be taken seriously. The other scientist was Dr. Ning Li, and she used to teach, I believe, at the University of Huntsville, or University of Alabama, Huntsville, and she left to start her own company called AC Gravity. And the interesting thing about these two scientists are, I actually talked to Pogonoff this summer while doing background research for Ning Li. And I've been talking to Pogonoff off and on for a few years, and he hasn't really said very much. It's kind of like, you know, good, keep up the good work, you know, great effort, thanks for helping to build an online community. Well, so I was under the impression that nothing new would really come out this summer. But I did an interview with him, and one of the ideas was that during this interview, I should find out a little bit more about his collaborative work with Dr. Ning Li. The reason that I did the interview with him is that Ning Li actually disappeared. I had started a story on her in 2003, and I would send her an email every few months and say, you know, listen, are you ready to come forward and do something for the public? I would love to put up a story about your AC gravity work. And the response I always got back was, you know, well, maybe later. Well, I think it was early 2003, I sent her one of these routine emails, and about 2 seconds later, I get back kind of this form email where she'd CC'd my name into, you know, a couple of other physicist areas. And basically, she sent it out to myself and a couple other people saying, we are now achieving 11 kilowatts of AC gravity output effect.
What does that mean?
Well, that was the part that I wasn't sure about. I ran this by a number of people, and they said that, you know, whatever it is, it's a pretty good amount of power, but nobody's sure how that really translates into pounds. But the thing that was interesting about that was, when I wrote her back, you know, again, about 2 seconds after I read that, I didn't get any response. And to the best of my knowledge, no one else in the entire world has gotten a response from her in about a year and a half at this point. The only person that she has been talking to consistently is Eugene Pogonoff. So So I went to him this summer, and I asked him, you know, would you be interested in an interview? You know, I'd like to ask you about your force beam experiment. I'd been under the impression that had been knocking over beakers in the lab, which may be 5 or 10 pounds of force.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through the interview, he indicated that it was knocking over, you know, much larger objects than that. So I pressed a little bit and said, well, you know, how much force are you actually creating here? I said, you know, hundreds of pounds? And his response was, more than that.
Oh, my.
So I scheduled a follow-up interview just to focus on this force beam experiment, the one that Boeing had looked at, as well as a number of physicists with an interest in this area.
And one would assume the Department of Defense also took a peek at this thing?
You know, they were actually more interested in Ning Li, to the point of actually financing her company.
We'll get back to her in a sec and finish up with Eugene.
Oh, well, the end-all be-all of the story, for this interview at least, was his claim is that he has a superconductor. It's about 4 inches in diameter. It doesn't rotate or anything. It's just a regular superconductor of kind of a large size. And he hits it with a 5 million volt discharge from a capacitor bank.
High voltage again.
Yeah, yep. Really high voltage, really high energy. And the claim is that this produces a beam of gravitational force that goes out in a straight line, doesn't seem to diverge. He's claiming it travels about 64 times the speed of light. I don't know how he measured that.
Oh,
but he's also claiming that it has enough, I don't know what you call it, pressure, I guess, to it. It has enough force that it actually punches through concrete and warps metal, like hitting it with a sledgehammer. So this is a very, very powerful device.
George, you couldn't use it.
Well, first of all, it's a weapon.
No, it's a defense. You could knock down any ICBM ever made, any aircraft ever made, any tank ever made. Any artillery piece.
Well, that's what I meant by weapon. It's got the same capabilities.
Yep, with appropriate targeting, a country could become invulnerable to conventional weaponry. And this woman, with this grant, who was working in Huntsville on duplicating Podfletnov's results, has disappeared, and she is of Chinese extraction. Now, what does that tell a conspiratorial mind?